Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus sternly said. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And the people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? And he gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. Speak what we need to hear for our life, for our circumstances. I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me and help us hear what the Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Remember Galilee. Galilee is the place of bondage. It's where all the people would rush into Israel trying to defeat them and captivate them. It's the first line of assault. And the people of Galilee found the bondage more than the rest of Israel. So it's no strange thing that this is where Jesus begins his ministry. Do you remember what he said when he got, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring captive to those held in bondage. And so it's no strange thing that he begins in Galilee. Here's what we must all recognize. We all were in bondage. Now, your bondage may not be as evident as others, but the truth of the matter is you were conceived in iniquity. You were born a sinner. In need of God's salvation, in need of being delivered. Hallelujah. Your goodness is not enough to eradicate your sin. Only the gift of God could do that. So he sent his son to a land of bondage to proclaim the good news. Aren't you glad you've heard the good news? It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough just to hear it. You got to be a doer of what you hear. And part of doing is receiving Jesus. Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee in a town called Capernaum. It kind of becomes his headquarters of that region. It's where he fed the 5,000, it's so on and so forth. And matter of fact, this past week, they found an archaeological study, a mosaic that represented the feeding of the 5,000 that was thousands of years old. It's an amazing thing. Google it later. Here he is. In Capernaum on the Sabbath, and Jesus began to teach. Jesus is a teacher. Are you a learner? You know, for anyone to have effective teaching, someone's got to be willing to learn. If they're not willing to learn, the teaching, as Mama used to say, goes in one ear and out the other. It's not very effective. But when someone is ready to learn, and then you hear, and you learn, then you can add precept upon precept and learn because you're willing to lay the foundation, you can grow in other truths. Some people never grow because they're not willing to learn and put into practice the basic principles of faith. Jesus began to teach and the people were amazed. Who is this? What is this? They're amazed at his teaching. You know why? I believe, and one of the reasons, if you're not careful as a teacher, you can just regurgitate what you've read. And there's no passion behind it. There's no life behind it. It's just information. Can I tell you the words that Jesus brings is life. They're life. There's something behind them more than just knowledge. There's a spirit, the spirit of heaven behind them, the revelation of God behind them, the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, and there's something alive in what Jesus is teaching. And the people recognize that. They heard it. Matter of fact, they say he had authority. He had authority, not like the others. So authority becomes one of those priorities in the book of Mark. Because without authority, it's hard to accomplish anything. Without authority, you're not going to be able to teach. Just ask any of our teachers. You have to maintain and manage authority in the classroom if you're going to be an effective teacher. So Jesus comes with authority. He has authority better than the scribe, more than the scribe that's passing, more than the prophets who prophesied. This is authority that compels a decision. Who are you going to serve today? Have you made that decision? Have you made that decision to be a learner and not a know-it-all? You know, some people can't be taught because they're in their pride, they want to teach everybody else. Help us, Lord. I always want to be hungry to learn. I want to be humble enough to realize I don't know it all. Amen. Matter of fact, I learn most from the children. If you'll pay attention to the children, you'll learn an awful lot. Matter of fact, Jesus said, a children will lead them. My kids have taught me a lot about living out faith. Living out faith. Jesus' authority, Jesus' teaching compels a decision. You going to serve him? You going to serve God, or are you going to serve mammon? You're going to submit to his leadership, his authority, or you're going to choose your own? Listen, he knows best. And life is found in the kingdom of God through surrender. Through surrender. Unless we're willing to surrender, we'll never be captivated by his grace that transforms our lives and makes us into something for his glory. So in the midst of this teaching, with authority, a demon-possessed man shows up. A demon-possessed man shows up. Listen, the word expressed in Jesus, through Jesus and his anointing, exposes demonic activity. Exposes. The darkness is exposed, and the darkness is threatened by his authority. It's threatened by his authority. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the dark age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." I'm going to tell you the first thing that Jesus does in his ministry is to cast out an evil spirit. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Now, I'm not one of those persons that sees a demon behind every bush or behind every cold. Sometimes you just get a cold. It ain't the devil giving you a cold. You live in a bunch of people who infected you with a cold. You live with dirty people who don't wash their hands. Hey, come on. That's all. But the truth of the matter is this. Listen, there are demonic forces at work in this world. Darkness, principalities, and powers that only Jesus can conquer. And he takes them on first. Yeah. And here's the thing that you got to understand. The darkness has a question for Jesus. Have you come to destroy us? Yes. But he doesn't answer it that way. Have you come to destroy us? What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Think about that for a moment. The demons know who Jesus is. They know he's the Holy One of God. They know who he is. They know the authority. They know their job's at risk. Have you come to destroy us? They know a lot more. He came to confront the darkness. The darkness knows. What do they know? He says this, the spirit in this man, I know you are the Holy One of God. I think it's interesting that demonic power possesses the knowledge of who Jesus is. In Mark, the demons would call Jesus several names. The Holy One of God, the Son of God in Mark 3:11, the Son of the Most High God in Mark 5:7. Listen to me, the demonic forces know who Jesus is. You ought to know who Jesus is. There's a story in the New Testament in the book of Acts where these seven sons of Sceva are trying to cast out demons. And the demon spirit says to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And you know what happens to them? The demon beats them up, strips them naked, and they flee because they couldn't stand against the darkness. There's only one power and one authority that has defeated the enemy. His name is Jesus. And because Jesus has defeated the enemy, you don't have to serve him either. Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there are certain things the enemy always does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys. And he doesn't mind doing that slowly. Slowly. On the treadmill of destruction. On the treadmill of darkness. Habits that bring not life, but death. You and I need to know that and understand that. Jesus, the Holy One of God. Why is the Holy One of God? Because he's the bearer of the Spirit. Hallelujah! He's the bearer of the Spirit. That the Spirit had descended upon him on the baptism, and he carries it with him in his ministry. The enemy uses these names to try to gain mastery over Jesus. I know who you are. I know who you are. I know who you are. And you know the enemy does the same thing with you. I know you're a drunk. I know your mama and your daddy and what they were, and you're just like them. Thank God for the blood of Jesus, because I'm not what I used to be, and I'm not what my mom and daddy said I was going to be. I'm a child of the Most High. Amen. He still plays the game. What is he? The accuser of the brethren. He wants to label you as something God never intended, so you will gravitate toward that, what he's whispering in your ear. Resist in the name of Jesus. Declare that you are a follower of the Most High God, and watch the enemy flee from you. Amen? Yes. See, the war was on. Jesus says, be quiet. Be quiet. Now, let me ask you something, sir. Have you ever told your wife that? Let me ask you, lady, wife, have you ever told your husband that? I recommend doing it gentler than what Jesus just said. be quiet. Do you understand the authority by which Jesus is pronouncing over this demonic spirit? Be quiet. He is about to silence all hell through his life and through his activity and the death on the cross and the resurrection. Don't give voice to the demonic spirits that would destroy God's activity in your life and in this church. Amen. The judgment of darkness had come, and they knew it. In verse 26, it says this, the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. I'm glad Jesus has that authority. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this. Listen to this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Can you thank the Lord for that forgiveness? Can you just thank him for that? Listen, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah! Listen, verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I love that. The enemy had thought he had won. The enemy had thought he had gained the victory. The enemy had thought he had gained the upper hand on Jesus when the tomb was sealed. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus made a spectacle of the enemy, dismantled all the powers of darkness in one little resurrection moment that gives us tremendous liberty and tremendous life and confirmation that what Jesus said was true is true. Glory to God. And so at this, the people are amazed at Jesus. Amazed. He had no spells. He had no incantations. You got to do it this way, gather. He just speaks the word. He just speaks the word. No symbolic acts. Oh, if you want to be afraid, you got to go to this, and you got to do this. You got to walk up this many stairs. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to jump through this hoop and that hoop, and you got to pay your tithes. No, his authority at work. Be silent, come out. That's my Jesus. Amen? That's my Jesus. And the people are asking, what is this, a new authority? You know why they're questioning that? You know why they're responding to that? Because their authority is about to be changed. They had the people locked up. They had them bound. That's what I know. You have to be very careful about power. Power always is the end result of power, ungodly power, is the bondage of people. The bondage of people. And that's exactly, they have authority over the people. They're telling them how to live and what to live. Listen to me. They're alarmed. Their authority is about to be dismantled. And it was. But here's the truth. The scripture says, many rejoiced. Many rejoiced. I don't know about you, but I go down the highway thanking Jesus for loving me. Thanking Jesus for loving me. The news spreads all over the place. The unseen world is disturbed, and the religious world is disturbed, and the word proclaimed, the authority displayed, and the freedom granted. Aren't you glad he grants freedom to us? Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Aren't you glad he knows how to do that? Set us free. We don't have to be enslaved. We can be free. Here's the deal. The scripture says the people are amazed. Heaven is amazed. Think about that for a moment. You know what happened when you got saved? Heaven had a party. Isn't that what the Bible says? Listen, I don't think the angels knew God's intent in sending the Son. I think they're standing in mystery and wonder and awe of all that God is doing. The revelation of who Jesus was didn't come until the resurrection, and God exalted him at the right hand of the Father, glorified him, and the angels bow in worship. And wonderful, wonderful. Amazed, amazed. I hope you stand amazed at Jesus. Amazed at his work in your life. Amazed at protecting you and blessing you. This is what I know. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Amen. Stand with me, would you? This is also what I know. The enemy comes to torment the people of God. And sometimes I've been guilty of giving in too. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I love that verse right there because look at me. Like a roaring lion is not a roaring lion. Amen. There is one lion of the tribe of Judah, and he done made Satan toothless. Do you hear me? He's toothless. He acts like roar to create fear, to create worry, to create disappointment, to create all kinds of emotions that lead you to the pathway of unhealthy places. Like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. What's the enemy want to do? Devour you. How does he do that? He does it in all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways. But listen, resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Can I tell you this? Our final victory is going to come one day. But we can have victory today. Victory today, because anything the enemy wants to lob at us, we know who has the victory, and we belong to him. Amen. Bow your head with me, would you? Listen, the enemy can do all kinds of things to us. He can torment us. He can make us worry about things we don't need to worry. He can make us fearful. He can make us all kinds of things. And maybe you're here today and you just recognize the enemy is coming against you in something, circumstances, situations, and you just need prayer today. The Bible says resist him. Do you understand what gives you the ability to resist the devil is your relationship with Jesus? It's the authority of Jesus that causes demons to tremble. That's what the Bible says. Causes demons to tremble. I want to pray with you today, because I think it's time to put an end to the enemy's torment, the enemy's assailant on your life. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand and hold it up. I just want to see. Yes. Today, Lord, do your work in my life. Today, Lord, give me the strength. Today, oh Lord, help that the enemy is throwing at me, Lord, not to be effective. Help me not to give place to it right now, Lord. I resist in the name of Jesus. Can everybody in this room can say that? I resist in the name of Jesus, by the authority of that name that is above every name, I resist the works of darkness that have been assailing against me. And I thank you, Lord, for your word and the shield of faith that's able to quench every fiery dart the enemy would sail against me. Thank you, Lord, for the victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.